This is Beth Stelker with Mission Network News, and today I'm talking with John about the situation that is unfolding in Israel, particularly in the Palestinian Gaza area. So, John, a few moments ago, you were just describing to me what you experienced when you were in country not too long ago. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, sure. I went into Gaza on Sunday the 28th of April, and I left Gaza on Thursday the 2nd of May. There was a sense of more tension in the two or three days that I was there. And on the Wednesday night, I did hear rockets landing in Gaza in the south. And on a couple of occasions, I heard rockets taking off. They make a whoosh sound as they take off. I had to leave Gaza on the Thursday morning, and people were talking about, you know, what had happened the night before. I was in Gaza City, and you know, there was nothing happening actually in Gaza City, but about a mile away from Gaza City, there was, you know, there were these rocket attacks going on, an exchange of fire. On the Thursday, I left in the afternoon, and Thursday evening, it all began to escalate. And on Friday night and Saturday night, you know, the whole thing was a mess, in the sense that lots of rockets were landing and destroying houses and killing some people in Gaza. And of course, the Israelis, as far as the Israelis were concerned, their attack was in retaliation for rockets going over from led by Hamas and the Islamic Jihad. The two of them are sort of together in Gaza. You can't blame Hamas for all this. Islamic Jihad are involved. And rockets has gone over into Ashkelon, and I believe there were a couple of Israelis that were killed. There were certainly some people killed. I'm not sure of numbers. And houses were hit. Quite unusually, actually, by Hamas. Very often the rockets just land in fields and so on. And the border was closed, so I was very glad that I was out, because I was flying home a few days after leaving Gaza. And the border, Eretz, was closed. And I know a couple of friends of mine in Gaza who had permission to come in for their mother's funeral and to go back. They had to wait in Gaza longer than they wanted to in order to get back into the West Bank. There was a ceasefire, which is usually created by the Egyptians, I think on Sunday the 5th. And I think, generally speaking, that ceasefire has held all last week and into this week, although there have been some exchanges, I believe, during that time, but nothing near as bad as on those 2 days of the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th, 3 days of the 5th of May. Now, I have talked to my friends in Gaza since the onslaught. There was probably 200 or more rockets landed, a lot of houses, buildings destroyed. My friend in Gaza, another John, known as Hannah, of course, in the Arabic world, he was very near his apartment and going to the shop, and a rocket came down very, very close to where he was walking. And he told me, he said, I was just frozen to the spot, John. I was frozen to the spot, and a local policeman had to take me home. He said, I was just so scared I mean, he's a lovely Christian guy leading the Baptist church community there in Gaza. But he said, you know, it was really scary. And of course, that's one individual, but all the individuals are the same. The Israelis usually notify people in a building that they are going to destroy. That is their normal procedure, either by sending a very, very small rocket down on the roof of the building, or in fact making a telephone call to the people in the building, telling them to get out. And the buildings that are hit are all associated with the political parties there. The Israel can do that because they have the technology to do that. But the experience of the people and the experience of the Christians in Gaza is it going to happen to me? It may not be my house, but is it going to be the house next door that's going to be hit? Because I don't know who's living next door necessarily. I don't know if there's an office or there's somebody that's very strongly involved with Hamas that Israel know about. I don't know. One Christian family's house was hit in a previous exchange of fire about five weeks ago. Their house was hit. They weren't in the house. They'd been warned to leave. And their house, their apartment, where there are four apartments. One of them was an office. They didn't know, but one of them was an office with one of the political parties. And that's why it was hit. And all their belongings were gone. They didn't even have a toothbrush. But quite remarkably, the following day when they went to the site, they found their family Bible, which was somewhat charred. I have a picture of it in the remains of the building. So, I mean, the very small Christian community is very much involved and fearful. I mean, there are only 900 Christians in Gaza. I mean, there are 2 million Muslims, you know, and, you know, sad to say, the Muslims, I won't say they expect their houses to be hit, but the Christians don't. But they are a small number. But this happened, which has seriously affected the Christian community. You know, one family out of 900, that's a big hit on the Christian community. You know, 10 hits on Muslim homes or homes associated with the political parties, well, you know, that's bad. Of course it is, but it's almost par for the course, if you know what I mean. So I took a lot of money in, actually, which I've been raising, and other people are raising funds for this family, and they're hoping next week to move into a new apartment. They will make very sure they know their neighbors before they move in. We're providing a lot of support. The international community of Christians are providing a lot of support for them. So it's that fear, it's the feeling which kids have, and I've been there on a Friday afternoon when there have been protests at the border. You know that they have protests at the border every Friday afternoon, have done so since last May. There was a very interesting program on the BBC on Monday night about this. I went to the border as close as I dared to go last year at one of their protests. It was relatively peaceful. Then we were covered with tear gas, which is not very nice, and I didn't have any onions with me. If you sniff onions, it gets rid of the tear gas. Seems counterintuitive, but that's the way it is. But I just wanted to see what was happening. And that day, you know, I went back to my friend's house, which is quite near one of the main hospitals, and you know, the screaming of the ambulances, and the kids are there and they're looking out of the window and, oh, what's happening, you know. And one little boy, he said to me, why do the people in Israel hate us so much, John? He speaks quite good English. And I said, well, this is just what's happening. But I mean, don't hate Israel. I said, don't hate the people. You know, they're doing this and it's wrong, and the whole war is wrong. But, you know, try to love the people, although it's making you afraid. It's very difficult for the people. I mean, they are suffering. And I believe they're a persecuted church as well. But you know, this is the way of life of the people. In addition to, of course, the suffering. Yesterday I went to the Anglican-led hospital, Ashley Hospital, the day after this particular event where I went to the border. And I went around the hospital and I counted 24 young men, all with their legs pinned up or in plaster, and two had amputations. They'd been to the border, they'd been shot in the leg, thankfully not in the chest or in the head, although people have been shot in the chest and the head. And here were these kids, and the doctor said, he said, they'll never walk again, he said. You know, the damage with the bullets are too bad. And you know, the Christians are caring for other people. They're visiting the Muslims that are involved in these protests and showing them love. But of course, showing love in that situation, it's not easy. It's not easy because you're taking on the emotion. You're taking on the emotion and the hatred, of course, of those people, and you're seeking to show love and to almost want to talk about peace or reconciliation. Well, you can't really talk that way with people in this situation, but you want to, and it's almost frustrating your faith, although you're showing your faith and showing love and care and concern. And sometimes the Bible College gives money to Christians in Gaza through the Shepherd Society so that they can go out and meet families where there have been injuries or where there's hurt, and perhaps give them food parcels or maybe pay for some medical care for them and so on. So, I mean, the Bible College through the Shepherd Society is giving funds in order to help face some of the needs that exist in Gaza. That's one of the ways the Bible College is involved in Gaza. But, you know, and that's just part of the suffering of the people there. The lack of electricity, the difficulties with sewage, and the difficulties with water, you know, impure water. And just the feeling that they are in a prison and they can't get out. Although some of them are allowed out by the Israelis for Easter and for Christmas, for the two main festivals. And occasionally, like the Muslims, some of them are allowed out for medical care. But in one instance of a Christian leader in Gaza, a Palestinian, he wasn't allowed to go to Israel to sort out his pacemaker, which in fact stopped. The batteries were down. It stopped for about 6 weeks. He then got it fixed. He went back to Gaza. He deteriorated, I think, because his pacemaker wasn't He wasn't allowed to go in to get his pacemaker fitted early. He went back again, was allowed to go back again into Israel. It was sort of tweaked, if you like, but the damage had been done, and he died in the middle of January. A very dear friend of mine in Gaza. So these are the sort of problems that, you know, the people are facing in Gaza. I've been waffling on. you haven't stopped me.
You're fine. You're sharing a lot of good information.
Yeah.
How do you want the global church to respond? Mission Network News has a primarily North American audience. What do you want them to take away, and how do you want them to respond?
I want the West to realize that there is a suffering church in Gaza. It's small, but beautifully formed, if I can use that expression. There are Christians in Gaza. I think the church in the West, by and large, they think that there's nobody, all the people in Gaza are Muslims, and all the people in Gaza are Hamas supporters. That's not true. All the people in Gaza are nasty people who are shooting rockets over into Gaza, and so they're getting what they deserve from the Israelis back. I mean, it's six of one and a half a dozen of the other. I don't take sides on this at all. And the church is suffering. And the church in America, in my perception, this is my perception, which may be wrong, is very focused on Israel. There's a theological issue here, of course. Christian Zionist position, which of course Trump approves of very much, and the action of the American government impacts on the people of Gaza in a very serious way. Because they see Trump as supporting Israel, and not saying anything about the difficulties that the Palestinians are having in the West Bank and in Gaza, because they can't get out. There's the wall, there's the imprisonment in Gaza. I wish people would be a little bit more have a bit more empathy with the people, particularly in Gaza, and see them as their brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, if they're Christian Zionists and they want to support Israel and bless Israel, fine, get on with it, do it. But don't forget your other Arab brothers and sisters who are really in a tough situation. And I could say it's in a tough situation because of the policies of the Israeli government. In a sense, I feel that. But of course, on the other hand, Israel responds to the attacks from Gaza, which the majority of the people of Gaza don't want. They don't want that. But then there's quite a lot of people, of course, who are so frustrated. They'd rather be a martyr and be remembered as a martyr, rather than be remembered as a prisoner with a poor quality of life in Gaza. Yeah, the young man wants to, he embraces death, he gets his 20 virgins or whatever he gets in paradise, and he's remembered as a martyr, and his name is on the walls of the houses, and posters are put up about him, and he thinks he's doing something good. And it's because of frustration. It's because of the frustration of the people. The fishing boats can't go out more than a few miles, otherwise the Israelis stop them. One of the things about the policy of the American government, of course, is that the American government is now saying that there are no refugees in Gaza. whereas every single person in Gaza almost is a refugee from 1948. But the American government is saying, no, we're not continuing that. We're not, which means that the Americans, of course, are not giving money to the United Nations and UNESCO, UNRWA, United Nations World Relief Organization. They stopped giving that money. They stopped giving money through USAID. There's a hospital in Gaza that was put up by USAID, and it's a lovely place. It deals with women who have breast cancer. Breast cancer is a real problem with women in Gaza. I talked to a doctor, and he said that when a husband found out that his wife had breast cancer, he just divorced her there and then, kicked her out of the house because she was unclean. Yeah, that's the sort of thing that's happening in Gaza. Now, USA put up this big building, put up some of the money to go in for testing equipment in there, and then withdrew. So the hospital has been built by USAID, but the ongoing support, which they need, is not being supported because the American government has pulled the plug on giving support into Gaza. And that's American policy. And if only people would sort of be a little bit more sympathetic to that, be a bit more aware of that. And because what is happening, the American government's decision to withdraw financial support is hurting the Christians in Gaza. And there aren't many of them, but it's hurting the Christians in Gaza. And Trump's support for Israel is hurting the Christians in Gaza because everybody is appalled by it. And then there are protests, and then everybody gets excited, and then they shoot rockets over into Israel, and then Israel responds with massive force and massive destruction. I just wish the American Christians could see this. I don't want to stop their theology. If they believe the land should belong to Israel because they're it was promised to Abraham, great. I don't have a problem with that. It's not my theology, but I don't have a problem with it. But for goodness sakes, see, what this theological position and support for this theological position is doing to your brothers and sisters in Christ in the West Bank and also in Gaza, because it's affecting them seriously. I don't want to stop people having their beliefs in terms of their interpretation of scripture, but just understand what it's leading to with the Christian community. So and as much as possible, I'd encourage Americans to go to the land to see the land, to experience it. My experience, I take groups fairly frequently to the land, and people are changed. They don't become anti-Israel, they don't become anti-Jewish, they none of that at all. They love the Jews, they love Israel. But they start to find there's another family that they want to love, and they want to help and support and pray for, and empathize with. One of the gifts that the people in Palestine need, I believe, is that one of the presents that they need is the presence of presence. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Can you explain that?
The presence of presence. In other words, the present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T, the gift of presence, P-R-E-S-C-E-N-C-E. Right? The people need encouragement. They need people to see. There are people in Gaza that would rather see me for a few days and talk with me and meet with me and eat with me than they would have my airfare, given to them, that it cost me to come from England. It's the gift of encouragement, which Paul, I mean, forget about the other gifts of the Spirit. I'm not bothered about the other gifts of the Spirit. You know, we all have our views, charismatic wise, on this, on that. But one of the gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about is the gift of encouragement. And the people need encouragement. And the encouragement is your presence with them. That is the best present that you can give to the people out there. Your presence, to be with them, to befriend them, to talk with them, to empathize with them, to sit down and eat with them. The gift of hospitality, which they want to share with you. That is one of the best encouragements and ways of supporting, I believe, the Christian community in the West Bank and particularly in Gaza. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I wanted to ask if there are any ways that you want the global church to also be praying.
To be what?
Praying.
The ways I want them to pray?
Yeah, if there are any specific ways that you think the church should be praying for the situation in Gaza and for their family, their Arab brothers and sisters.
Well, as far as Gaza is concerned, I think we want to pray particularly for the young people, that they will. I'm talking about the church now. Particularly for the young people and the children, that they will not have fear. They will be able to sleep sweetly and not have fear in these situations. I think also for the leadership, to give to the leadership who are involved with the pastoral care of their flock out there. It's very, very demanding, to give them the strength, the physical strength, the emotional strength, the spiritual strength, to support and encourage their flock. The leadership is under a great deal of pressure out there, and to support them. And, people want support, they want love, they want money, they want jobs. The leadership sometimes are in a position in order, if they have the necessary funds, to set up job schemes to help particularly the young people. Pray also for the young people, that they'll be able to get jobs. Difficult to get jobs. They go to university, they get their degrees, they come out. It's difficult because jobs are just not around. And there is a difficulty sometimes. If there's a Muslim and a Christian for a job, it's likely the Muslim will get it. There's no problem between the Muslims and the Christians, generally speaking. Sometimes some of the girls in the universities or a lady in the market will be looked at, and comments will be made about her because she hasn't got a hijab on. But generally speaking, the Christian community are doing good. One of the leaders said to me in a hospital, he said, the Christians in Gaza punch above their weight. Do you understand that idiom in the USA?
Oh, yes.
They punch above their weight. And it's true. There's the Orthodox Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Baptist Church. There are two Roman Catholic schools. There's an Orthodox school. There's the YMCA. There's also the hospital, which is run by the Diocese of Jerusalem. And there's another independent school, which I support in Gaza. And there are various sort of, Christian missions who are in a caring for people in Gaza, run by Christians. And proportionately, compared with the majority society, they certainly do more. They certainly do more with, although they're a small number of people, you know, according to the percentage of people that they are in Gaza, which is very, very small. So I think encouraging them to continue, praying that they will encourage them to continue, and pray that some of the Christians will actually get permission to come out just for a rest or respite or visit family in the West Bank. Not necessarily to stay out. Some do. There's a lot of Christians are leaving. When I first went into Gaza, there were 3,000 people when I first went in with Brother Andrew, maybe about 30 years ago. I mean, Brother Andrew and Open Doors have put a lot into Gaza, and also the Bible Society into Gaza. So, I mean, these organizations need support, and you know, so that the people will have a quality of life and flourish rather than have a poor quality of life. You know, even in spite of all the big problems that everybody faces in Gaza. Yeah, it's a suffering church. I believe it's also a persecuted church, because I believe Open Doors. Are you aware of the World Watch List?
Yes, Open Doors is also one of our partners, so we cover the watch list every year and include it in many articles.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking to, I have good friends at Open Doors, and I work with them. Often Open Doors sends me money, which I take into Gaza, you know. So I work a lot with them. And of course, I know Brother Andrew personally, and I've traveled into Gaza with him on quite a number of occasions. You know the book Light Force? Do you know Brother Andrew's book Light Force?
I haven't read it, no.
Well, you read that book, and the people that he meets there and the people that he has had a relationship with, he's 91 now. It was his birthday last Saturday. I rang him up. Those people he has passed on to me. And I don't want you to put this on record in any way,